Welcome to installment 89 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains six commandments, all relating to prohibitions regarding incest. They are prohibitions 340 through 345, prohibitions relating to incest with one's aunt, as well as one's daughter-in-law and two types of sister-in-law. The incestual relationships prohibited by Torah are listed in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, beginning with Pasuk 12. The 12th verse prohibits one from marrying or having a relationship with one's paternal aunt, literally one's father's sister, and this is prohibition number 340. The next verse prohibits another type of aunt, one's maternal aunt, one's mother's sister. And prohibition 342 is in the next verse, prohibiting one from marrying one's uncle's wife, literally the wife of one's father's brother. The Torah does not simply state the prohibition against marrying one's aunt, but rather gives all the different types of aunt, and each one counts as a separate one of the 613 commandments. Our sages have reported an interesting case in Jewish history where a man did marry his aunt, and this was Amram, who married his aunt Yocheved, as our sages say that Yocheved was Amram's father's sister. The Ibn Ezra states that this contradicts the claim of the world that seeds produced in one field, he says euphemistically, should be planted in another field. Rather, says Ibn Ezra, seeds which are planted in one field can be replanted in the same field, referring to this case that as a result of Amram marrying his aunt, they ended up having children of the stature of Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And in this case, the prohibition against marrying an aunt, the prohibition is, as in all of the cases of incestual relationships, merely a chok, a law which is beyond reason, something we are incapable of understanding. Because naturally, not only is it not a negative thing, but there could perhaps even be positive aspects to close relatives marrying each other. This also explains the statement of our sages that it is a mitzvah for a man to marry his niece, that although it is forbidden from a man to marry his aunt, his niece, who is just as closely related to him, is not only allowed, but as our sages say, it is a mitzvah to marry her. And the Rishonim, the early commentaries, explain that it is a preferable union, since they are similar by nature. And so too the Magid Mishnah says on the Rambam that they have a natural love for one another based on their relation. They are connected by birth, and later on when they connect each other as husband and wife, there would be an even stronger connection. And therefore, since the Torah has not forbidden a man from marrying his niece, it automatically becomes a mitzvah, since it would naturally be considered a preferable sort of relationship. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, however, in his Sefer Chassidim, says that a man should not marry his niece. And many of the commentaries ask, how could he make something forbidden, which our sages say is a mitzvah to marry one's niece? How could he say that it is forbidden? The answer most commonly given by the halacha commentaries is that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid examined the kavana, the intention that a person has when involving himself in such a marriage. True, ideally, the characteristics of a man and his niece would indicate that it would be an ideal marriage. But this is only when they marry for the sake of performing the mitzvah, since it is a mitzvah for a man to marry his niece. However, when there would be other sorts of desires, which are also mixed in, physical desires, then it no longer is in the category of a mitzvah. And then all sorts of natural influences could come to affect the marriage and affect the children. God forbid, with undesirable effects as a result of their close relationship. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, knowing that people of his generation had declined from that period of the Gemara, from the times of the Talmud, and therefore their intentions were not so pure, at least not as pure as they were in previous generations, therefore he decreed that a man should no longer marry his niece, for fear that their negative and undesirable intentions would lead to undesirable effects on the children. This is very similar to what we discussed regarding the idea of Yibum, that just as a man is commanded to marry his child's sister-in-law, nevertheless, in our generation, this has been forbidden, since in those days people were doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Whereas in later generations, since this feeling of the mitzvah was overcome by physical desires, then the relationship would go back to the incestual relationship, which is prohibited, instead of being the mitzvah as indicated in the Torah of Yibun. Therefore, chlitza is required, as we discussed in the previous shiurim. To continue in today's shiur, prohibition number 343 is the prohibition against marrying one's daughter-in-law, as the Chumash calls it, one's son's wife. And the last two commandments of today's portion both relate to sisters-in-law. Prohibition 344 is one's brother's wife, the prohibition against marrying one's sister-in-law. And prohibition 345 is also one's sister-in-law, but rather one's wife's sister. As we discussed previously, the prohibition against marrying one's brother's wife is set aside in the case of Yibum. When one's brother has not had any children, then there is rather not only a prohibition not to marry one's brother's wife, but there becomes a mitzvah that is actually a mitzvah to marry her in order to perpetuate his brother's name. But as we mentioned, today the custom is that as a result of people having other desires mixed in to their performance of the mitzvah, this has become prohibited. We have gone back to the regular prohibition against marrying a sister-in-law. This, of course, applies even after the brother has passed away. This is the unique aspect of Prohibition 345 and the difference between the prohibitions between these two types of sister-in-law. Regarding marrying one's wife's sister, the verse says that one is prohibited from taking her sister as a wife or as a rival to her, bechayeha, in her lifetime, meaning that after the wife has passed away, one is allowed to marry her sister, which is not the case in the previous type of sister-in-law, that even after the spouse or the relative which has made this sister-in-law related to you, even after the brother in this case has passed away, one is still prohibited from marrying the wife, if it is not a case of Yibum, of course. Whereas in the case of one's wife's sister, after the wife has passed away, one is allowed to marry the sister. We see in the Chumash a famous instance in which a man married two sisters. And this is, of course, Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, who married two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Although in the case of Amram marrying his aunt Yocheved, we could possibly answer that since it was before the Torah was given, he was allowed to do so. When it comes to Yaakov Avinu, however, the Talmud says explicitly that our forefathers, the Aves, including, of course, Yaakov, kept the entire Torah before it was given. We could perhaps say that Amram was excluded from this, although this is also difficult to say, since our sages say that Amram was Gadol Hader, he was the leader of his generation. But nevertheless, we could perhaps say that he was not included in the category of the Aves. But Yaakov was certainly included as one of the patriarchs. How was he able to marry two sisters? The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita pointed out that we have to remember a very basic point about Yaakov's keeping of the mitzvahs. Yaakov Avinu knew to keep all of the mitzvahs before they were given as a result of his prophetic vision. And this was something he kept because he wanted to. He certainly was not obligated to do so. However, even before the Torah was given on Mount Sinai, there were other laws which Yaakov was required to fulfill. Being one of the inhabitants of the world, he was one of the Bnei Noach, one of the children of Noah, including all inhabitants of the world at that time and all inhabitants of the world today. And all of the children of Noah were passed on seven laws which they are required to fulfill. Included among these seven laws is a prohibition against falsehood, a requirement to keep one's word and to tell the truth. And Yaakov was certainly required to keep his word, being one of the Bnei Noach. And this was not something he could do if he wanted to. This is something he was absolutely required to do. Now let us compare Yaakov's obligation to keep his word as opposed to his obligation to not marry two sisters. Did he have any obligation to do so? Obviously not. He kept the Torah before it was given, but he was not commanded to keep it. He did so because he wanted to do so. He had a desire to fulfill all of the mitzvahs. Just as Abraham ate matzah on Pesach, even though the Jews had never even been in Egypt yet in order to celebrate Pesach, and certainly not been commanded to eat matzah, nevertheless Avram, with his prophetic vision, wanted to achieve a similar spiritual effect to what we would do after Mount Sinai, with the eating of matzah. Since Avram wanted to achieve this, he wanted also to eat matzah. And so too Yaakov, since he wanted to keep all of the laws, would not have wanted to marry two sisters. And as long as that didn't contradict any law of the Bnei Noach, this would be allowed. However, Yaakov had made a promise to marry Rachel. He had promised his father-in-law Laban that he would marry Rachel. Later on, Laban tricked him, as the story is well known from Chumash, and gave him Leah as a wife instead of Rachel. And he married Leah. And therefore, he would not have wanted to marry Rachel, since he wanted to keep all the laws of the Torah, and the Torah forbids one from marrying two sisters. Therefore, he wanted not to marry Rachel. However, here he ran into a dilemma. He was required, as one of the Bnei Noach, to keep his word, and he had given his word to Laban that he was going to marry Rachel. So to marry Rachel was required legally, since he was one of the Bnei Noach. And this was not something extra that he wanted to do. This is something he was required to do. He didn't want to marry Rachel, since he wanted to keep all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. However, since he was not yet obligated in them, he did not have the choice of going beyond the limits of the law, so to speak, since it contradicted his obligation as one of the Bnei Noach. Therefore, he was legally obligated in such a case to marry two sisters, since he had previously given his word to marry Rachel, and therefore he did so. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.